Last week we were in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and we made it to verse 19. We have been looking at kind of the role, the purpose of the church. Some people think there isn't a purpose for the church. And the reality is there is absolutely a purpose. In the book of Revelation, we read of seven individual churches that God spoke directly to. He spoke to their pastors, FYI. If you don't understand, if you never sat down and broke all that down, he was not speaking to a literal angel. He was speaking to the pastor of each of those churches. Some churches had done great, and then they let the fire die. Some churches were still doing great. We got money. We got loads and loads of money. We need nothing. He had a reprimand for them. Some churches looked like they were alive, but they were dead. The Church of Philadelphia was poor, smaller than the others, more persecuted. No reprimand to them. All the other churches, though, when he spoke to them, he said, to him who overcomes, he gave them hope. He told them they could overcome the things. So each individual church has its purpose. And typically, in each of those churches, by the way, there was a church in Jerusalem, but yet it didn't show up in Revelation. There were lots of churches, just like today. There were churches everywhere. Typically, the churches met in people's houses, much like the Amish do today. But they're restricted to how many people. They're restricted to, this is where you go and you have no choice. And so the church has grown out of much of that. We have come out of the Protestant Reformation to become this. But the reality is, not everything we become is God. Because now we accept sin as normal, and it's not, should never be considered normal. It's there. We should quit getting offended, in my opinion, at seeing a worldly movie and then getting offended when it's got worldly stuff in it. The movie last night, I don't remember, was it a Christian based? Had some actors you'll know. If you watch Reacher, it had Reacher in it. Hilary Swank, Nancy Travis, she was 3 men and a baby. A few other people that I kind of hit and miss seeing, but this is based on a woman who was an alcoholic. So they showed her drinking, getting drunk. So many Christians I know, they get offended. Oh, I don't know why they had to put that in the movie. Well, I thank God that she kept her clothes on. That might be going a little too far. I saw a movie with David and Bathsheba, and guess what? They didn't skip that scene. And as a teenage boy, that was an interesting scene. Not going to lie. Mom couldn't get to the remote fast enough. I thought this was a... What do you think David was looking at? Did they need it? Absolutely not. I'm a teenage boy. I can use my imagination. But the church has started accepting sin. There are things that are in the church that are flat out obviously sin. Then we run under the umbrella of grace. Yes, God's grace is very real. But Paul said, just because you're under grace doesn't mean you should sin more. We should become free from sin. And what we need to understand is God gave us the church. Each church has its purpose. It's not the same. We were looking at some of that last week. We were talking about, you know, your eyeballs in your hands or your mouth in your hand. Kind of weird, isn't it? But yet everybody seems to want to do that. So let's keep on. 12:19, and if they were all one member, where would the body be? If my entire body was an ear, what am I going to do? I can hear, but the reality is I can't process what I hear. I can't do anything about what I hear, and I definitely can't see where I got to go to do what I'm supposed to do because I'm an ear. But it seems like people want to do that. But now indeed there are many members, yet one body. I can just go right down this row and see all the different occupations that have been had. You know, he's a truck driver. Got CDL, been driving truck for a while now. Nurse. But, Brenda, have you ever driven an 18-wheeler? Exactly. Why? Because it's not her gift. It's not her call. Now, I'm sure Richard, if it was an emergency, he could probably hold somebody's guts in. But he wouldn't want to do it every day. I know that's kind of graphic. Accidents happen. We got people of different occupations. You have different giftings. I know Miss Brenda can paint. I've got a little skunk rock in my shop. She gave us years ago. She'd go through the fields finding rocks, clean them up. That looks like a skunk. And she painted it to look like a skunk. I got a deer somewhere. He's hiding. I put him under a flower bush and ain't seen him for 10 years. But we are all individual members, but yet we're one body. We can come together and do things. But not everybody can do my job. Boy, I can teach just as well as you can. I bet you can't, because you're not gifted for that. Everybody, I found people that thought they were gifted to teach. No, it's not. Just like every school teacher's not gifted to teach. I had at least one who hated their job. It's like, they're the most miserable teacher. But when you find a teacher that loves what they do, they're good teachers. And I know the teachers my boys have had that I'm going to brag on that are in here, they loved them. When you love what you're doing because you're gifted at it, you excel. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet. How would you like that? I don't have any need of you. I'm a head. I sit on a block. I don't need you, feet. Feet says, fine, I can't go anywhere anyhow because you're not a part of me. You control me. I have, and nor the feet, or head to the feet, I have no need of you. No much, rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are necessary. That little toe hangs out off the side of your foot. You don't pay any mind to it, do you? Until you catch it on the corner of a dresser. And then you found out you know 10 languages. And you didn't realize how flexible that little toe was until it's pointing sideways. You need that little toe. It's weaker. You kind of need this little pinky, don't you? You don't realize until it's gone. Be kind of hard to... Be hard for me to give to number three because this is how I do it. Not like this. Because people somehow miss this one and they only see two. I do it like that because you see all three. But if I'm doing it, you know, I better watch that. Might tell you you're number one by accident. But all of those parts are necessary. They may be weaker. You may be, well, what's my point? What's my point of being here? Well, you got to find it. Part of the reason why I want you as a member to be a participant, not just a seat warmer. Churches are full of seat warmers. And those members of the body which we think to be less honorable, on these we bestow greater honor, and our unpresentable parts have greater modesty. Do I need to explain to you what he's talking about? No, I don't. But you watch any video. I love watching these stupid videos just to unwind sometimes. People doing stupid things, because I'm like, there's people like me. They're my kin. But if a guy, if they're going to throw a ball or anything at a guy, he takes one position every time. I don't care who he is, what part of the world he's from. He covers himself. He protects the jewels. Not his face. The part that nobody sees. He's protecting that. Because it hurts extremely bad, but it is important as well. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it. Now, I don't know what part of the body we are, of the general part of the body of Christ. We are a part of it. There's two guys walking down the road. One has a bulldog. The other one comes up with this monstrosity, just uglier than sin. He's walking it along. And the guy's like, that's an interesting creature. What do you call it? He said, it's a crocodile. A crocodile? I've never heard of that. He said, well, it's a crocodile on one end. And it's got the head of a or an alligator on the other end. That's interesting. Said, it eats a lot. The guy said, I imagine it's got two mouths. And the guy said, and he's also the meanest creature on the planet. Yeah, I could see that. I have one question, though. How does he use the bathroom? He said, that's what makes him the meanest creature on the planet. See, we don't want to talk about that. But yet here the Apostle Paul is. And I'm sure that based out of the Greek and Aramaic that to our languages, this is probably cleaned up. Because Paul didn't really mess around too much. But he was letting us know that you may be the colon. But without it, you're vitally important. You are much needed. Well, I don't want to be that. Where would you be without your digestive system? Dead, really. Oh, we put you on a machine, keep you alive for a while. What kind of life is that? That's what I've always told her. I said, listen, if that machine's the only thing keeping me breathing and alive, pull the plug. There's no hope. I would say that if there's no brain waves, but there's been times that's questionable anyhow. So just make sure that machines aren't keeping me alive. But God has composed the body so that the parts having greater honor, having given greater honor to the part that lacks it. I can't tell you how many times I've seen truckers jumping out of their truck and holding tight to go to the bathroom. Or little kids. Little kids are actually funner than a trucker. Trying to. Doesn't matter what part you are, you are important. Well, I don't do much. I'm the appendix. I don't do much. Now, I don't know what they say the appendix is for now, but back when I was taking health class, the general consensus was it helped us digest nuts and seeds and things like that, which we don't eat a whole lot of anymore, unless you're like me and I like eating mixed nuts and sunflower seeds and yeah, stuff like that. But you know, a couple years ago, Rob's decided it wanted to burst. That's bad news. But God put a protection around that thing, and they said, we have no idea how this did not go beyond here. We do. But you see, they took it. Did his life change? Well, you know, back in Adam's time, would have definitely changed. But our time, maybe not so much. Wisdom teeth. We get them yanked out, don't we? I'm only half as wise as I used to be because I've still got two. But they wanted to take mine earlier because I have narrow jaws. They're hard to get to. Justin had to have his surgically removed a couple weeks ago because they were impacted. Most of you have probably been through the very similar thing. You've had them pulled out. They had a purpose. That there should be no more schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. The top of your head should receive the same care that the soles of your feet get. Well, my feet are in a dirty place. They're just, what hurts more? Generally, some of us may have headaches all the time. I don't know. Typically, your feet. You just want to sit down. Put your feet up. Soak your feet. Put some lotion on your feet. You got to take care of your feet. That is one of the things that the military, at least I know the Army and the Marines, pound into our heads. Keep your feet dry. My last forced march, I think it ended up being a 20-mile. It was supposed to have been a 10. They lie. But I shouldn't have been on it. Wasn't supposed to be on it, but I did it. I thought it's the last time I'll ever do it. Don't do something just because it's the last time you'll ever do it. I hated doing it when it was forced on me. I didn't have to, but I did it. And I wore my spit shine boots. I thought, this is the last time I have to spit shine them. They were pretty, boy. I'm going down through there, all that sand. You ever carry a load in sand? Take one step and there it goes. So at the halfway point, I sit down there and everybody takes their boots off. Corman comes around, checks you out. I pull my boot off. Yeah, I got skin hanging over here. I got blood running out over here. My master gunnery sergeant, E9, comes along. He says, Whittell, you going to be okay? I said, I'll be okay, Gunny. You know what? Somewhere along the way, my brain kicked in and said, what are you doing, moron? You don't have to do this. I said, you're right. Stepped out, waved everybody pass. Another company comes up behind us. The captain says, Corporal Whittell, what's wrong? I said, I'm short, sir. That meant I didn't have enough time to worry about it anymore. I think I had 30 days left. He didn't say another word. And I just kept going back until the Hummer picked me up. Well, that sounds lazy. Yeah, let's remember both of my feet were pouring blood out of them. Because we drove trucks. That's why I was in Motor T, not to walk everywhere. Jeez. But that the members should have the same care. You should care for your feet. You should care for the same person around, no matter who they are. And here, I love you all the same. I don't care what you give. I generally try to stay out of that. I don't care what you do. I love you the same. But let me explain to you. I love you the same, but I expect the same. I expect my feet to do their job, no matter how they feel. There's days I'm even up here and my knees and my hips hurt so bad, I don't want to stand anymore, but I keep doing it. And then I go home and I put my feet up. But you see, I expect them to do their job, no matter what they're doing. And if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. So if my feet are bothering me, guess what? The rest of me's bothered. All of a sudden, you know, my feet start hurting. Oh, man, my feet. Oh, then my knees. Okay, I got my pack on. Oh, my knees hurt. Oh, my hips hurt. Oh, my back hurts. About mile 15, your back really is cramped up. Your shins are locked up. Your feet are just flopping. And it all started with your feet. By the time it's over, your head hurts. See, when the weakest part of us starts hurting, we should all hurt. We should all feel that. That's a body. That's why when one of you is hurting, it hurts me. I feel it. I pray. I miss you. But I will not babysit. Said that from day one. I'm not a babysitter. God told me it's time for people to grow up. It's time for people to grow up. If I got to keep you in church, you don't have a relationship with God at home. That's the sad part. I'm just speaking the truth. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I remember the day I went out there to get my promotion. Boy, E4. Woohoo! That's a big deal. I got guys who've been in the military longer than me who are looking at me and how? Well, remember those spit shines? Remember those uniforms I told you that I made sure the creases were in them? My hair was always cut. I knew my knowledge. I did my job. That's how you do it. But I would go up there and pop, standing right there in front of the CO, salute, boom, and they read my promotion warrant. My ears are tingling at all the fancy words. My head is swimming, and I can tell my friends what to do. My head, my body, my face, it's all rejoicing. But they didn't get me there. My feet carried me to the CO. So my feet were rejoicing. When something happens good for one of us, we should all rejoice, not get jealous. That is an unfortunate thing I've seen in the body of Christ. We get jealous when something starts happening good for somebody else. Well, when's it going to be my turn? When you quit whining. Whining is lack of faith in God. Okay, there's a wall. What type of mentality are you? Oh, I'm just going to stand here and look at the wall. Okay, you can look for a door. Or do what Phil just said. Try to run through it. That's the Marine way. We see a village in our way. We don't go around it. We go through it. All the members rejoice. We should all rejoice. We should rejoice when the people down the road have a great baptismal celebration. Oh, wait a minute. That's that church. That means they're growing. Do you not understand? We are all the body. And guess what? Because I'm able to be where I'm at and do what I get to, I get to minister to a lot of those people who go to these other churches. Because they don't know me as their pastor. And a lot of them open up. I get to talk to a lot of people. Well, you don't talk to me. I'm going to tell you something my dad used to say. That phone line runs both ways. Just saying. If you need to talk, I'll talk. But I'm not going to sit and listen to you whine about why everybody else has got it better. Somebody's always going to have it better. Somebody's always going to have a nicer car. Who told you you couldn't have a nice car? Well, I just don't want debt. You know, Dave Ramsey told me I can't go get one. He's changed his tune now. He said you can go buy a car. He really has. You got to have a car to get to work. Now, I'm not telling you go buy a Bentley. If you can afford, I don't even know what the, a Yugo. If you can afford a Yugo, go buy the Yugo. But if you can't afford a Bentley, don't buy a Bentley. They're $500,000. Now, you are the body of Christ and members individually. We're all individual members of this body. I'm responsible for me. You aren't. Unless God's been telling you to pray for me, to which you better be praying for me. And if God tells me, some of you, I wake up in the middle of the night praying for you. Because I'm like, why did I have a dream about them? Oh, hey, I need to pray for them. Or God will bring somebody up when I'm working on something. Oh, good, I can sit here and I can be praying for them. Don't know what you're going through. Sometimes I don't need to know. Sometimes your face says it all. One thing I will say I have tried to do is study people. I didn't go to school to get a doctorate in theology, although I could pull it off real quick. I know I could. It doesn't mean anything to me. Jesus didn't have one either. But Jesus was a student of people. He could see hurting people. Miss Brenda called me one day on the carpet about it. What's wrong? Because she knew me. See, I can see your faces. Nobody else sitting around here is looking at your face but me. When I say something up here and I see your face, I know I just hit you. My old pastor in North Carolina used to say, if you throw a shoe in a pack of dogs, the one that yelps is the one you hit. What he was saying is, when I'm up here and I throw the word of God at you, when I see your face, I know I got you. That's what he was talking about. I got a couple more minutes. I want to read something to you. So out of the body of Christ, in the body, there are five particular roles. We know them as prophet, evangelist, teacher, pastor. What's the other one? Yeah, apostle. But in the local body, and each individual, there's not always a prophet. And I'll be honest with you, everybody claims to be a prophet. Everybody wants to be a prophet, except the real prophets. There's a reason why the saying was, a prophet has no honor in his own town. Because a prophet's general job was to call people on the carpet about sin. From the leadership to the individuals. They didn't like it. I know you don't like it. Like I said, I can see your faces. I'm not a prophet. God has given me dreams that are prophetic, but I do by no means claim to be a prophet. Pretty much all a prophet means is you speak the word of God. So if that's the case, then yes. But I won't run around giving you prophecies. That is part of it. There's a part of that, to speak into people's lives. I've had it done for me, and it has meant a lot when somebody was right on the money. But we have schools of prophets. I don't know what Elijah taught, but I can tell you what they teach today. Get to know your person. Get to know who they are a little bit. Ask questions. See, the last prophecy I was given by somebody who claimed to be a prophet, they'd gone to that school, and I was dealing with something right then, and everybody there at that meeting that night knew this because I had shared it before. This was a group of friends and associates, so they all knew my story, and I was sharing that story with them, and this man decided he was going to prophesy, and he prophesied over me. He read everything that he knew I was dealing with. It was stuff I was preaching from here. I was having trouble. I was having trouble with my brother Deploy. Not me. Because I'm the big brother. It was my job the first time. And those cowards in Washington, D.C. backed off. 9/11 never had to happen. If you think you're getting the full scoop, you're full of it. We didn't back off for oil. Maybe we did go there for oil. I don't know. I don't care. You make enough threats, somebody's going to act on it. But we had Iraq against the ropes and stepped back and said, there, we should have finished it, and I had problems with that. And this man dared to prophesy that. Well, at that point, I chalked him up as a goofball. You didn't prophesy anything that nobody in that room didn't already know. Because I was sharing it. I was struggling. And I know I've been told, you didn't miss a thing. Yeah. God still has to remind me that. But anyhow. But what I want to read to you here is something out of my Kingdom Dynamics in my Bible. It talks, that's describing the words. The administrative leader, leader traits. The New Testament seems to recognize three basic types of administrative leadership. The servant leader or deacon. The Greek diakonia means service or ministry. Around here we use a different word. I know people get a little butt hurt because I don't go getting religious with titles. We use the word director. If you're a director, that's where you fall in. You're a deacon. The deacons oversee the general running of the church. The ushers, cleaning, maintenance, things of that nature, the children's ministries. That's what deacons do. Let me find my place. These deacons were patterned after the men set apart in Acts 6, 1 through 6, to serve the widows in Jerusalem. Two, the steward leader or manager. Greek oikonomos or oikonemos, nomis, means steward, such as today's pastor. The word literally means household manager. A slot often held by a slave in the first century, it refers to those who managed the church. The steersman leader, or the overseer, is found in the office of apostle or bishop. Kybernesis is a Greek term borrowed from seafaring, and it is used to designate the steersman or pilot who holds the ship on course. The word is rendered government in 1 Corinthians 12:28, where Paul speaks to the spiritual gift of administration. So, we did not read 28, but let me read that. And God has appointed these in the church, first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, after that miracles and gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Now in that, people can hold two or even more. I am not a prophet by any means. I do not claim to be a prophet. Am I an apostle? Absolutely. I founded this. That's what an apostle does. I'm not an evangelist. God told me that in Ukraine. Wish I'd have been listening before. I am a pastor. I am a teacher. So we can cross over. In those, I am the last two. I'm the steersman. And I'm the pastor. I'm the tender. There are pastors who are evangelical. They travel. Now, in that, I have to ask, how much of a pastor can you be when you're never with your sheep? That's my question. You have no idea what's going on with your sheep. Because you appoint somebody else to overlook them. As the head of my household, I may get busy. But I would never appoint anybody else to take care of my wife or my children. So that is an area that, for me, is a gray area. But they're not my servant. They don't live to please me. We, in the role that I'm in, my job is to steer. It's to take this church where God is leading me. I don't go where everybody else thinks I go. I don't go where you think we should go. I quit listening to what people are telling me a long time ago. Because I did a few things that people thought we should do. And God was screaming in the inside of me, do not do it. I regretted it. It looked great. God had warned me in a dream not to participate. I pulled out. I said, that's it. I'm done. I won't participate anymore. Do we help other churches? Absolutely. We've helped New Life Assembly right down the road here with their youth. We've given them money. We've helped Edison Enterprise with their garage ministry, with their food pantry. We've helped the clothing closet. We've helped Heartbeat. Well, I want to go help. Go help. That's not the mission of this church. God called us to Mount Gilead, to these people, because he told Angela, I love those people. I love them. And I was still struggling at that point to come back to Ohio. So that's why God told her that. Lord, I like it warm. So you see, each church has its job. The hilarious thing I think about with New Life is the vision that they've got and what they're doing with the youth. They've created an afternoon deal for teens to get away. Well, I don't think the teens... Oh, shut up. Just shut up. Somebody paid the way for you and something else. Quit getting crotchety and cranky. Because God gave me that vision when we started the church. But it wasn't our vision to fulfill. So I had no problem helping them. I have no intentions of starting a food pantry or clothing closet. When I was a teen, my mom and dad got duped into that and it took over our entire basement. And guess what? People do not wash those clothes when they bring them. So you can imagine what our basement smelled like. And they expected my mom to wash all the clothes. Oh, and they weren't going to provide any detergent or anything. Mom and dad were... Dad had been hurt on the job and been out of work 2 years at that point. So we weren't doing good. But what God has done is he's helped us to be able to help others. We are fulfilling a role that doesn't normally get done. Because God told me and showed me when we first started, before he even called me, but it was that summer, he gave me a dream of walking up to a building with two other couples. It was me and Angela and two other couples, and one of them's right there. And we walked up to this door. It was a brick building. And I looked up, and there were all these demons hanging outside the windows. It looked like Ghostbusters, okay? These things were just hanging out, hissing, and they said, "Do not come in here. We know who you are." I knew who I was, too. And if you know me and you tell me I can't do something, there's a chance I'm going to try to do it. And I said, "Oh, yeah," and I grabbed a door and I went in. I woke up from the dream. I had no idea what that dream was about until later that fall when I went into a building here in Mount Gilead. And I was looking to rent some space so we could start this church, get this church out of our dining room. Okay, the dining room wasn't big. 12 chairs filled it up, okay? So I can say the church was full that day. And I go into this building, as I step forward and I put my hand to that door, to open that door, I looked up. I was in that building. And they told me they did not want me here. But yet, the very next month, they rented the space to another church. Go figure. But God showed me. It wasn't just them. It's the religious spirit. Mount Gilead is full. Morrow County is full and steeped in religion. One of the oldest buildings in town was one of the first churches. The little blue building across from the Napa store. It was the first pastor's home. And he held service there. We got Canaan Township, Mount Gilead. I can't believe the people that know the Bible don't know how to say it. Do you not read your Bible? It's in there. There's the Balm of Gilead. There's Mount Gilead. We are loaded with churches in this town. But until they embrace sin over Jesus Christ, they are our family. They are our brothers and sisters. And then even then, I pray that they repent. But people aren't getting free. I'm hearing more and more of people getting free, people getting delivered, people moving freer. They're overcoming drug addiction, sex addiction. They're overcoming their self-righteousness. Why? Because they no longer have the same religious spirit that is oppressing them. And God showed me about 15 years ago why. It's because we're here. We are not the same church that started in Edison. I have nothing, there's no link other than the fact that I went there. That's it. They disobeyed God and ended up there instead of Mount Gilead where they were supposed to be. We're here. There are spirit-filled churches. There are people in denominational churches who believe in the power of the Holy Spirit too. So we're not alone. We're not lone rangers. Church down the road is not my enemy. I told that to Ron Ellison. Yes, his last name went out the window. I told it to Pastor Ron Ellison, who at the time was pastoring Gilead Friends Church. He was the only one who would talk to me at a minister's conference, or Morrow County Ministerial Association luncheon. He was the only one that would talk to me. And I said, listen, I'm not here to take your people. There's enough reprobates in this county for all of us. He laughed, just like you did, and, you know, we get together, it's like we were old friends. He's no longer there. Why? Because religion took hold. But he hasn't given up the ship. But we've got to stop the church recycling. It's getting ridiculous. I go to church, I'm like, huh, yeah. You've been to four other churches. Don't blame it on me. That's one that makes me sick. They blame it on me. No. You just suck it up, buttercup. Well, I'm a butterfly. Yeah, butterflies have short lives. I pick them out of my grill all the time. But you see, ladies and gentlemen, that's kind of part of our purpose here. Well, I don't see that we're supposed to be casting off spiritual things, and we do more than that. But by the way, if people can't get through the demonic powers, how are they getting the help from God that they needed? Because Daniel couldn't. 21 days he fought with the strongest demonic power in Persia. Just to get a message to Daniel. And we think that spiritual warfare is second. I've told you before, ladies and gentlemen, our praise and worship. Praise. Because I believe our worship is as much what we do with what we're given. But our praise opens, it plows that ground. There's a saying, Judah plows. Judah means praise. Our praise plows that ground. I bring a message, I put it in that ground. What you do with it is up to you. Whether you go running out here and say, well, you know, I just think I want to be a part of that church. Well, you knock yourself out. Because I'm here to tell you, God's done. We're about to hit some serious stuff that makes 20 look like a cakewalk. I don't know what's coming, but I've talked to many people that don't even serve God. Do you understand? These are heathen. And they say, I don't know what's going on, but something's going to happen in 24. I don't need a prophet to know that. I can pick it up. It's like, yeah. I mean, we're standing here scratching our head at why our federal government is letting illegals cross the border like they got tickets. And telling the governor he doesn't have a right to stand up and protect his people. There's a problem. Just FYI, I contemplated 2 weeks ago driving to Texas. I'll head out on Sunday night, get there Monday morning sometime. At that point, probably Tuesday morning. Texas is big. I'm here to do a couple days duty. This is my country too. It's not that I don't want foreigners, folks. Immigrants. We're all descendants of immigrants. I want you to come through the gate, not the window. Come through the gate. I don't want any more MS-13. No more child smugglers, human traffickers, no more drugs. Well, I don't think we need to get involved. Well, if God tells me to go, I'm going. Just like I was invited to go to D.C. on January 6th. God said no. I said, okay. Because you know doggone well if they open up the door, why not? I might have been in a federal pen because somebody let me in. We're in perilous times. We have got to be prayed up. We have got to remember to pray. I'm telling you right now, I don't know if I've really ever asked like this before. I'm begging you, pray for me. Because if the devil comes after me that hard, he's coming after you. The tip of that spear goes into that shield first, or it goes into that enemy first. And when that tip goes dull, the rest of it's useless. We are in the times. We need to be praying for all these pastors, not just me now. The devil's coming hot and heavy to take them down. We pray for our government. We pray for our leaders. That's what we're supposed to do. And when God puts somebody in this church on your heart, you need to pray for them. I don't care what you're doing. You don't have to drop to your knees. Half the time I'm driving in the truck getting some windshield time. And I'll see something. And I'll be, hey, I'm going to pray for Joe. And you know what might have triggered it? It's all a football field. That's how it works. We have got to start being prayed up. Part of our commission is to keep back the religious spirits that have dominated this county for centuries. I don't know what all was here before. But the devil doesn't want to give it up. Why do they fight over Jerusalem? Really? Why do they fight over Jerusalem? There's prettier places. Jerusalem's not exactly sitting on the coast of anything. The Jordan River isn't exactly this magnificent, beautiful. It's not the Rhine. Had to think of a nice river. I can't say it's the Scioto, because I know where it starts and it's about that wide. But so is the Jordan in some places. Because there are places that are significant. Jerusalem is believed to be the spot, and actually where Jesus was sacrificed on the cross, is believed to be the spot, and it is the same area where Abraham sacrificed Isaac. It's also the same place where Abraham went and met with Melchizedek, the king of peace, which is what Jerusalem means, is peace. So, there's a point. We were named Mount Gilead. The balm of Gilead was a healing balm. And we got to quit fighting. Except what we're supposed to do. I was motor T, doggone it. Yeah, I could shoot, but my job was to get that grunt, make sure that truck was fixed so that that driver could take his stuff to the war. That was my job. And I did it proudly. Do your job proudly. And when God promotes you in things, you step up. But it ain't going to happen when you're whining. Some of those guys that told you before said, why me? Why did you get promoted? Because I didn't stand around whining and complaining about it. Gunny said he needed parts. I said, aye, Gunny. And I went and acquired parts. Those of you who know what I'm saying, Marines don't steal. They acquire. Is it really stealing if you stole it from yourself? I still could have went to jail, so. But understand that. That's what we're here for. We've got a purpose. We're not just sitting here occupying a spot. If that's the case, go home. But I send you out every week. This isn't the mission field. This is the sanctuary. This is where you're safe. You go out that door, understand. When you go to the restaurant, that server may need your prayer. Look at their face. Look at the people around you. Pay attention to what's going on. You don't realize, you know, if it's just Angela and I, well, yeah, man, I can put 1,000 demons to flight. Boy, I feel pretty tough. But boy, I sit over there and I agree. See, she reached over and she took my hand this morning. She was one. But when we came together in agreement on that, that was 10,000. That's what the word says. 10,000. Tenfold. So if you're sitting there, I don't care, maybe you're in the store. And you can just tell, you passed somebody and something didn't feel right. Begin to pray. And you may have to go back and say something to them, but otherwise you may just have to walk around that store praying. Because they may be thinking of suicide. Just saying. All right, let's stand. There's actually some more things that I think I'm going to keep going down on average. Lord has been giving me one message on one thing, and then I think right now he's still wanting me to continue in this realm, just for structural. Sometimes you got to go back and do it. It didn't matter. Every time we turned around, we were asking what our 11 general orders were. And those of you in the military know what general orders are, about standing guard duty. Jesse had to learn general orders. I asked him one day what his 12th general order was. He looked at me and he said, 12? There's only 11, Dad. I said, oh, no, there's 12. They don't teach you the 12 until you're on duty. And he's like, what? I said, it's to walk my post from flank to flank and take no crap from any rank. It's not legit. But when you understand that the CO has to do what you say, changes your life a little bit. There's only one person above you when you're on that guard duty, and that's the sergeant of the guard. Or the officer of the day, but they usually come out together. And unfortunately for me, it was the officer of the day that caught me reading the funny papers. Yeah. Scared me straight. But praise God for mercy, he didn't burn me. And I never picked up a newspaper again. So mercy can help somebody. All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you, Lord God, to be a part of your amazing body. Father, we thank you that we are part of the glorious body of Christ. We don't know what part, but it doesn't matter. If we're the colon, we're the colon. We thank you for that. We're just honored to be a part of you. Now, Lord, I thank you. I thank you that you're moving in our lives, Father. You're helping us to focus, Lord God, and we thank you that we're going to be paying attention more and more to those around us who may need prayer. Father, they may not necessarily need to talk to us. Sometimes we just need to pray because we can control things by praying. So, Father, I bless these people. I thank you for them. Lord, I thank you for those that are teaching our children right now. Father, many people look down on that ministry, but it is vitally important, whether it's one or it's 100. And Father, I thank you for healing those who are sick today. Lord God, I thank you that you're touching their bodies. You're restoring their health. Restore their energy, Lord God. I thank you, Father, that they will recover quickly. In the name of Jesus, amen.